Blog Talk Radio.
Technical difficulties. I tell you, you people out there in Blog Talk Radio land, customer service people, man, y'all got to get your site together, man. Y'all making this harder than it needs to be. Trying to do a show here. The Madden Voice is here. Episode 6, Season 5. Lots to talk about. A lot went on this week. Bye week, so a lot of teams didn't play. Six teams actually didn't play, but a lot of teams did play. And this season is really, I'll tell you, if anyone thinks they know who's going to the playoffs and who's going to the Super Bowl, I'm sorry. You cannot tell me that you actually think you know. Because it's one of those things where just when you think a certain team has the inside track, or just when you think this team is about to make a run, something happens, you know. And so we're going to talk about all of that. But before we get into all of that, let me introduce my illustrious co-host. First, the man himself, EAFL1 Super Bowl winner. The man, he is affectionately known as Train. All right, something about that song, man. It just doesn't like Blog Talk Radio. I don't know. Train, welcome to the show.
What's up, T? I want you to find a better copy of my theme.
Man, I did. Oh, that was another song. That was another version.
Oh, my goodness,
and it's
man.
Still coming out crappy, man. I don't know, man. I don't know. Well, let's see what we get here. Let's bring in the other host of the show, the man himself. The other man himself. Everybody's the man when it comes, you know, when I introduce you. The Madden Nation 4 contestant, runner-up, EA VG tournament, $25,000 runner-up, the man himself, the birthday boy, K-Star. K-Star, welcome to the show.
What up, what up?
What up, K-Star? Happy birthday, brother.
I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. And, of course, everybody knows who I am. It is me, Commissioner T. Woo! That's all you get. That's all you get. Because I am the cult of personality. And we have a special song just for K-Star. Here we go. This is for K-Star. Come on. Come on. Where is it? Where is it? I tell you, Blog Talk Radio don't like me.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, happy birthday. Happy birthday to you.
Woo! Hey, man, I appreciate it. I'm 25 years young.
There you go,
another year, so I'm happy about it.
Yeah, how many people get Frank Sinatra to sing happy birthday to them, man? You know what I mean? Yeah, that's, you know, that doesn't happen often. So, you know, we had to do something special for our brother, K-Star, 25 years young, happy birthday. So, busy week in the NFL between, you know, just current events and the games. And I mean, you know, I was sitting here looking at all things, man, and I was running out of space, man, writing out all the themes and all the things to talk about. But before we get into the football stuff, let's talk about Monday night. And my prediction did come true. Hank Williams Jr. fired. And there's a big debate now all of a sudden. There's a big debate as to whether he shouldn't have been fired. Now, before we talk about it, before I get Train's opinion, before I get K-Star's opinion, I'm going to play. I found the clip. It runs for a couple minutes. You guys got to be a little patient, but I think it's important to hear the whole thing before you formulate your opinion on whether or not you think Hank Williams should have been terminated by ESPN. I guess terminated is not the right word because he was not an employee, but they decided to no longer use the opening theme song that we all have gotten used to. They decided to cut that completely. So here's the interview in question.
He comes from country music royalty, and he's been the voice of Monday Night Football for over 20 years. But it's not all about music for this country superstar. He knows a little about politics, too.
That's right. And join us right now to break down the 2012 GOP field is country singer superstar Hank Williams Jr. Good morning to you, sir.
Hi there, guys.
Where are you?
Oh, I'm sitting here in Nashville at the little studio.
Okay.
Your body language says leave you alone. Your hands are crossed.
Whatever.
Off. Okay.
Hey, since
I'd rather be up there. I'd rather be there looking at Gretchen.
Well, there you go.
Good morning to you too.
Yeah.
Let's just have a little
How
intimate discussion right here. I'd love to pick your brain about politics.
Yeah.
All right. So I'll start with an easy question. Who do you like in the GOP race?
Nobody.
Nobody.
You remember the golf game they had, ladies and gentlemen?
Yeah.
Remember the golf game?
Banger.
That was one of the biggest political mistakes ever.
Why?
That turned a lot of people off. You know, watching, you know, it just didn't go over.
You mean when John Boehner played golf with President Obama?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And Biden and Kasich, yeah. Uh-huh.
What did you not like about it? It seems to be a really pivotal moment for you.
Come on, come on. It'd be like Hitler playing golf with Netanyahu, okay?
Okay.
Not hardly. In the country this shape is in... The shape this country's in, I mean. No, I don't understand the analogy, actually.
Well, it's...
I'm glad you don't, brother, because a lot of people do. Well, you know, they're the enemy. They're the enemy.
Who's the enemy?
Obama and Biden. Are you kidding? The Three Stooges.
That's only
the
two.
The one that makes the most sense is Herman Cain. Herman Cain makes more sense.
So you do have a favorite. Herman Cain of the guys who are and gals who are running for president.
Right now.
Okay.
Right now, he makes more sense than any of them.
Because last time around, you were a supporter of Governor Sarah Palin.
Boy, was I.
Do you want her to get in this time?
I don't know. You know, like I said, guys, they've turned a lot of people off. I mean, look at USA Today poll. 89% said Congress should be completely replaced.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with them. You know, the health care bill left, it's not going to fly either. It's going to be a historic election. I know that.
A lot of people are motivated.
So one thing I'm gathering from your very emphatic statements this morning is that you are not a big fan of the parties coming together at all to kind of try and find compromise.
No.
All right. Let's talk about Monday Night Football.
We're more polarized than we've ever been, guys. You know it. You know, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. We're polarized. You know that.
Yeah, well, you didn't, because right you used the name of one of the most hated people in all of the world to describe the president,
true.
Which
you know, that is true. But I'm telling you like it is that you know that just wasn't a good thing. It just didn't fly.
All right.
So anyway, you know, like Fred Thompson said, you don't want to ask me a question because I'm going to give you too straight of an answer.
Well,
talk about something else.
All right,
let's talk about something else.
Let's switch to something that happens on Mondays, in particular Monday nights. Can you believe?
All right. So that was the interview, the portion, the beginning in its entirety, uncut, unedited. From that point, they went on talking about football and whatever. So that's it. I didn't want to just take a piece and, you know, have somebody say, oh, T's just slanting it to support what he's saying. I gave you all 3 minutes and 30 seconds of it. So, K-Star, let me start with you. Certainly it's been, been a few days, and I'm sure you've seen a lot of the coverage. What do you think? Did ESPN do the right thing or not?
I think he probably should have taken a year off, to be honest. I don't know if they should have just, did away with 20 years of his song. They probably should have just, let it simmer a bit, let the controversy kind of die off. They completely remove the song. I mean, I don't know. At the end of the day, it is just music. I understand that you don't want him representing it. That wasn't really the best statement he made. It sounded to me like he was being a poor analogy, but either way, to use Hitler with in connotation with Obama, it's pretty dangerous stuff for him to do, and especially the way he kind of worded it, like, us against them, and he sounded pretty ignorant, but I don't know if you could really fire or get rid of it completely, but I would definitely get rid of it for a while and be like, look, you got to watch your comments, bro. This is just ridiculous.
Mm.
But, yeah, I mean, I definitely understand it. I understand it, you know. At the end of the day, you can't really be saying comments like that, so, I mean, at the end of the day, I'm okay with their decision, but I don't know, 20 years is a long time.
Mm. Train, thoughts?
Well, that guy is just ignorant. I don't think Hitler, comparison to Hitler should be used for any of our presidents, like, ever.
Mm.
You know, because they don't, I mean, they do try to write about an entire race. Really, you're going to make a comparison to him with any, I don't care if it is an analogy that you want to show that all the houses, the Republicans and Democrats should be enemies. What sense does that make anyway?
Horrible analogy.
It doesn't even make sense that Democrats and Republicans should be enemies. Really? How are we supposed to get anything done?
I don't think he was calling him Hitler per se. I just think it's a god awful analogy. But
It was. Oh goodness.
Jesus.
Did they do the right thing? I guess so. Because I ain't miss him. I was just ready to see the Bears play.
Well, you know, see, you're a Bears fan. That was going to be my next thing. You know, did you guys miss the song? Because I was pretty intrigued by the whole Barry Sanders intro. You know, Barry Sanders has been kind of quiet over the years. Every once in a while, he'll speak up, or, you know, you'll see him somewhere in an event. But for the most part, he's been pretty quiet. And I thought it was very cool that, he had a little opening piece. And and it didn't even click to me, honestly, until – and, you know, like right after kickoff, then I realized, oh, yeah, they didn't play Homeboys. I mean, I knew they weren't going to play it, but it didn't click until, you know, after kickoff. So all I'll say is this. I'm not going to belabor it because I beat them up pretty good last week. All I'll say is this. I agree with everything you guys said. Do I think he meant it? I don't think he meant it as strong as it came out. But when you say that and then you say things like he's the enemy and I don't believe in the sides coming together, well, now you're really taking your analogy and really making it something that's just unacceptable when you're talking about the president and you're a visible person. And I think ESPN had no choice. You know, I think they had no choice but to just sever ties with the guy. You know, I was looking up the Dixie Chicks because they had a situation, where – they said something about being here's the quote. This was back in 2003. We don't want this war, this violence, and we're ashamed that the president of the United States is from Texas. And those girls never really recovered from that statement. You know, you don't hear them on the radio anymore. And they took a beating over that statement, which, comparatively speaking, I don't even think it's in the same category as what Hank Williams Jr. said. And so, yeah, I mean, when you go out there and say these kind of things, be ready, because you are putting yourself in a position to be a target, and that's what he was. I think what's funny is that here is ESPN's comments. We have decided to part ways with Hank Williams Jr. We appreciate his contributions over the past years. The success of Monday Night Football has always been the games, and that will continue. That's it. So Hank Williams finds this out, and this is his response, right? The guy, at first, before he was let go, if you will, before they took him off the air permanently, he had said that maybe he went a little too far, and maybe it was a bit much, and that's what he was saying. Then after they let him go, then he says this: after reading hundreds of emails, I have made my decision. By pulling my opening October 3rd, ESPN stepped on the toes of the First Amendment freedom of speech. So therefore, me, my song, and all my rowdy friends are out of here. It's been a great run. So, did the guy mean it? Did he have any remorse? Did he realize he went overboard? It's probably not. So to me, it underscores the fact that, part ways, let's move on. So, Hank Williams Jr. wasn't the other guy out there making news this week. There's a guy who used to be the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, and he's been relatively quiet since finally retiring, Brett Favre. And out of nowhere, Brett Favre now is player hating. Let's take a listen to his interview.
A little bit as far as what was going through your mind when you saw Aaron Rodgers and the Packers go on their Super Bowl run last season.
But I'm going to be quite honest. I was not surprised. The biggest surprise for me was they didn't do it sooner. Because it's funny how people forget over time that my last year in Green Bay, prior to the first game, really started training camp, I made the remark that this was probably the most talented team I've ever played on. And, of course, everyone kind of looked up like, this guy's off his rocker. We were very, very young, aside from me. You take me out of the mix, and we were by far the youngest team in the league. But I could see the talent pool across the board was outstanding. Now, our season ended up kind of being a reflection of that. We came close. And I think we took a lot of people by surprise. But we were, guys emerged rather quickly. Aaron had a chance, even though the last couple of years seems like, he's almost a rookie. He's been around for a while. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to think that, he watched, he learned, and then when he got a chance to play, he brought in his – his ability, which obviously is very good, or they wouldn't have drafted him in the first round. He's got tremendous talent. He's very bright, and he got a chance to kind of sit and watch, and he saw a successful team do it right. And so he just kind of fell in to a good situation. On top of that, he's a good player. I don't think anyone would question now the talent around him is even better than I was when I was there. So I really was surprised that it just kind of took him so long. And really, the early part of last year, again, was surprising to me because I'm like, it just hadn't quite – it hadn't clicked yet. And I didn't know if it would last year. I just figured at some point when they hit their stride, it's going to be hard to beat. They're going to be hard to beat. And that's what happened.
All right. So that was Brett Favre's interview, a radio interview. And I know y'all are impressed that I was able to get that clip because I'm the man. Train, this is your division. And I think if anybody has followed Brett Favre just by being a Bears fan, certainly you have. And what do you think of Mr. Favre's comments about Aaron Rodgers?
Now that I actually listened to that clip, it don't sound as bad as it was depicted. It sounds more like a compliment. It just sounds like he expected them to do it a lot sooner than they did.
And I guess he expected the team to click a lot sooner than it did. But I think the team was still, you know, every team takes a step back when you have a new quarterback coming in like that. Regardless of whether he's third on the bench or not, you know, he still has to play the game. So, to me, the Green Bay Packers won it within him being 3 years as a starter. That's typically how it works. So, I don't know, but I don't think his comments were meant to be negative at all, as is what it seemed like I've read from articles and stuff.
That's one take on it, and that's why I wanted to play the whole clip because, you know, I am broadcasting live from Bristol, Connecticut, calling number 347-838-9525, but this is not ESPN, but they are right up the street. And I know that network well, and while I have a lot of respect for what they've done for sports and for on-air sports over the last 25 years, you know, they are only as good as their worst reporter, and there are some people over there without a doubt that'll twist things around, and so I like to play the whole clip. K-Star, you agree with Train, or do you look at it differently?
This is the first time I heard the full clip, and at first I was a little like, you know, when I heard the little bits and pieces of what he said, like, man, that's like a backhand compliment, that's kind of messed up. But now hearing the whole thing, there's some bad reporting going on. People are out to get Brett Favre, because people hate him so much, and now they're just going to try to twist his words. Hearing that whole thing, it sounded like he just said, you know, they had an awesome team, a great team when he went to the NFC Championship game and they lost to the Giants that year. And that now that, you know, Aaron's been there for a while, you know, they finally got it done. He expected, you know, Aaron to be, you know, more like Aaron now than he was then. So it just sounded like to me he expected Aaron to be, you know, more ready because he had all the talent in the world to do it a couple years ago. That doesn't sound bad to me.
Yeah, I mean, and I'll admit, when I heard the clip, my first thought was, a lot to do over nothing. Then I listened again, and I listened again. And I said, okay, I can see if you're a reporter and he says, I'm surprised he didn't do it quicker. I left him a great team, so what took so long? Okay, I guess you can hear it that way too. And I don't know Brett Favre personally, so I don't know which way he meant. But was it enough to be, you know, lead story on ESPN after the interview? Probably not. You know, I think we do have to remember that Brett Favre did make the decision to continue to play for Green Bay, and Green Bay said, no, thank you. You took too long. We're going to go ahead and we're going to go in Aaron Rodgers. And when that happened, I did say that they made a big mistake, that you don't treat a legend that way. Yes, he was wrong for taking so long, but you know what? You know, he had been that franchise for a number of years, and you know he is to that team. He's Michael Jordan, okay, to that team. And so if he wants to take a little bit extra time, you work with him. Looking back on it, maybe they knew more than all of us, because Aaron Rodgers is playing lights out. He's got a Super Bowl. You know, if you watch the reports, it's pretty much consensus now that he is playing at a higher level right now than Tom Brady. People are cautious that he's better than Brady, but they are saying right now he's playing at a higher level than Tom Brady, and you know it's hard to dispute that. So maybe they knew more than we did. That's why they get paid millions and we don't. Who knows? One last story, just because I liked it and I wanted to add it to the list. My favorite player in the NFL, who is not in the NFL right now, had an interview, and he's saying that he'll be playing within a month, or something along those lines. And I haven't listened to this complete interview. I caught bits and pieces of it on television. I did find it, but I didn't have a chance to listen to it. So actually, I'm listening to the whole thing for the first time with you guys, and then, you know, it was, again, one of the top five stories on ESPN after the interview about Terrell Owens saying, he wants to play and he expects to be back within a month. So here's the T.O. interview.
I think the first order of business is that everyone wants to know, you wanted your family to sit with you today. Why was that?
I think it's been, it's been a tough year ever since I left Cincinnati. You know, obviously I sustained a meniscus injury, then shortly after that I sustained the ACL injury. So, you know, just going through that and going through some personal issues, personal problems within myself, they've always been by my side. you know, today I want them to be here because I want to call it quits. I want to retire.
Do you feel like you're quitting, or are you just walking away on your own terms?
No, I just feel like I'm walking away on my own terms. And, you know, I wish today was April 1st, you know. It'd be April Fool's because I just got you. Because I'm not retiring.
Oh, man. That's a good one. I'm not mad at you. I'm not mad at you at all. I was saying to myself, he's retiring. Since you're not retiring, what's going on with Terrell Owens? That's what the world wants to know.
I definitely have been going through a lot of personal problems. And obviously I had a financial advisor that has, you know, misappropriated funds and taken advantage of a situation. A little bit of that has been going on, and obviously everyone has been wondering, you know, what's going on with the knee. And so the knee is doing great. I just come from a Seoul, Korea, where I, you know, had the stem cell procedure.
I was getting ready to ask you about that. You went over there. Why?
I've heard a lot of stuff, you know, and I've done some research, and I've, you know, since I've sustained the injury, I have a lot of people that have, you know, have worked extensively with me in my rehab process. And so, you know, and picking their brain about some of the stuff, stem cell and trying to, you know, accelerate the healing process, I'm always going to do whatever it takes to obviously, you know, better myself. And it's a safe procedure. The procedure was they took fat cells from my own body, and then they did what they do. And I can say, day to day, I've gotten better.
Where would you say you're at right now,
percentage-wise? Probably 75%.
I guess for me, what I'm wondering is, are you trying to come back this season, or are you
sitting out the year and
I'm
being
100%
next year?
I'm going to be ready soon.
How soon?
Soon.
How soon? I don't know what soon means. Soon mean could mean 2 hours from now. It could be tomorrow. I don't know what soon means. What does soon mean?
Soon could be, I would say, I give you a, you know, a month or less. I give you that, a month or less.
Look into the camera and tell one of the 32 NFL owners what they'll get if they treat you right and bring you on board to play for their friends.
Well, they're gonna get the TO that they expect. Don't expect anything less. I'm not gonna waste your time, so I wouldn't expect you to waste my time. When I step on the field, you know what you're gonna get.
All right, so and you know, I'm listening to the clip, and I'm like, did I get the right clip? Because what's he talking about retiring? Did I miss something? But so there's TO. He wants to play. Gonna be back in the next month. Is there a market for Terrell Owens? 37 will be 38 in December. You know, pretty much, you know, he'll be a Hall of Famer. Maybe first or second ballot. Should be first ballot, but, you know, off the field stuff, so who knows. But definitely a Hall of Famer. You know, can he help a team out there? Train, NFC, you know, is there a team out there that will be calling for Terrell Owens services?
Not Chicago.
So, do you think he's going to play?
Honestly, just from the way he's talking, I say, yeah, because he sounds so confident about it. He just got me believing in his confidence. So, I guess his agents must have people lined up for him. I don't know. That's kind of another month. Now, that's very late in the season for you to come in and be productive on anybody's team unless they have significant injuries or wide receiver.
K-Star, will he play this year?
You know, it's tough to tell because even last year, there really wasn't a market for T.O. It was very, very limited. I think the Bengals were the only team interested, and that was before he tore his ACL. So, my thought is, if a Super Bowl contending team has an injury to a receiver, that's the only time that he has a chance to be brought in. Aside from that, I'm not seeing it. But, you know, a team that has a win-now mentality, you know, and expects to that they expect to win this year, if someone were to get hurt, I could definitely see it happening. But aside from that, I don't. He sounds confident with STO. You know what you get with him. Coaches are very concerned in this day and age of team chemistry and stuff like that. Obviously, there's some issues there, so I don't see it unless there's a a serious injury to a Super Bowl contending team.
Well, you know, I'll admit I'm biased, but, you know, 72 catches over 1,000 yards at 37 years old, you know, for playing for a team that was not a contender and a team that had Chad Ochocinco on the other side. I think he's going to end up somewhere because the NFL is one thing about T.O. is we know physically he comes to play. A lot of people can say anything about the chemistry and this and that, which I've always said with T.O. Was made to be a lot larger than it really was, but that's my opinion. But that said, on the field, the guy performs. He's a phenom. He's just a physical phenom. He's a fast healer. He's always in supreme shape. And he should thank Peyton Manning, because had Peyton Manning not went and investigated stem cells, people would be laughing at him for that. But since Peyton did it, then it's okay. So, but I think, you know, you had Andre Johnson go down. You know, I think that there will be teams that will lose players, and they will need a T.O. You know, even 85-90% of what he is still better than two-thirds of the wide receivers out there. And so if he is healthy, that's going to be the key. If he's not healthy, forget about it. If he can't pass the physical, forget about it. But if he comes back and looks like he did last year, I think he's going to end up on a team. He won't end up in Chicago. He won't end up in Dallas. And I know there's several other teams. We won't see him in Philly. You know, there's several bridges that are burned, and he won't end up. But I think there'll be a team out there. I could see, you know, if New England were to lose a receiver, or the Raiders have been known to sign aging superstars, aging veterans, you know, I could see a team like the Raiders or the Patriots picking this guy up, you know, for the second half and possibly a playoff run. I could see it happening. So so my prediction is he's going to end up on the team. Later on, we're going to talk. I want to talk a little bit about Steve Jobs later on. Steve Jobs, Apple founder, died last Thursday. And, you know, it's not exactly a football comment, but certainly it does have a lot to do with technology and where the world is today. And, you know, we'll talk a little bit about that later. And we're going to also touch on Al Davis and the Raiders. Al Davis passed away over the weekend, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But let's talk about some football games. Let's start with the Steelers. Let's start with K-Star and his Steelers and Big Ben gipping around with five TD passes and just – really, the game was never even in question. The Steelers looked pretty good there, K-Star.
They did. And you know what changed? The pass protection. Mm. You see what happens when you give Big Ben some time? You see what happens? He's so used to playing behind such horrible circumstances that even when he's banged up and not 100%, the fact of the matter is if he has a glimmer of hope in that pocket, he's going to make some plays, because at the end of the day, he's a very talented quarterback and a top, you know, five quarterback in this league. So, again, he got time. Part of a huge reason why that we actually brought back in Max Starks, he at left tackle, he played for us before last year. We didn't bring him earlier in the year for a couple of reasons, but you know, he played great. So if he solidifies that left tackle spot, I think it'll be great. In pass protection for us, in our terms, are great. We'll have great pass blocking for the Steelers. So as long as Big Ben has some time, that's going to happen. And the defense really responded. At the end of the day, I don't think anyone can be really surprised. This is a Mike Tomlin coach football team. You know they're going to figure this out. You know, a great team always responds to these types of situations, to adversity. You know, Steelers are a great team. They've been three Super Bowls in the last 5 years they've been in. So for all those who doubt the Steelers, I just laugh. Because I think at the end of the day, a lot of people, when they saw that game, they're like, uh-oh, they're back. It's not good. So I'm very excited.
Hey, Train, is it me or is this a different case start than a week ago, huh?
Whoa. Woo! Did I not have the Steelers winning this game a week ago?
No, you had them winning. You definitely had them winning. But, man, that energy level after this win, like, woo-hoo-hoo! Hey, yeah, you know,
they dominated, man.
They did. A Titans team that people that was starting to get a little steam and people thought were making a little bit of noise under Hasselbeck and you know, Chris Johnson starting to run finally a little bit and maybe starting to get his legs underneath them. I thought it'd be a better game than it was, but it was never in question. I mean, the Steelers in all facets of the game dominated the Titans, and yeah, they definitely. I think if there was a statement game this weekend, this definitely had to be classified as one of those games that, you know, when we're talking about elite teams in the AFC, if not the NFL, I think the Steelers now have made a statement that says, put us in that conversation now. You know, we stumbled a little bit, but I think we have it figured out because I think the Titans are a decent team. I think they're a decent team, but they didn't look it against the Steelers, and that's the sign of a great team. And I agree with you 100%. I said last week, Mike Tomlin's not going to let the Steelers go to 2-3. He's too good of a coach, and I have a lot of respect for him. And I mean, yeah, I wouldn't want to play you guys. To be honest with you, you guys are looking really good. So, Trent, any comments?
Man, that game was definitely a surprise to me. I did not expect Tennessee to get beat down like that. I thought that they would be able to take advantage of some of the poor play that had been done by the Steelers and take advantage of, you know, the injuries that the Steelers have had. And even though they lost Kenny Britt, I still thought that maybe they could take advantage of, you know, injuries. But hurrah, Mike Tomlin. Way to get his team ready.
Yeah.
Way to get his team ready.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a matter of time. When you have a great coach, you have that much talent level the Steelers have, I mean, you would expect him. You would expect Bill Belichick to figure his team out to get things right. And Mike Tomlin, he belongs in that class. He's not, you know, Bill Belichick necessarily, but he's a great football coach. Has to be like a top three coach in this league at this time. He's been great for us. So, again, it was a matter of time before we figured it out, and I'm just very excited for the process of the rest of our season now that we seem to have gotten this offensive line situation a little straightened out. So, I'm excited.
Yeah, look good. Absolutely. Really no argument there. Steelers look good. Hey, we have a call. Let's bring in the caller with the 774 area code. Welcome to the Madden Voice.
Hey, what's going on? It's Z-Farl.
Hey, what's happening?
Not too much. Glad to get in to listen tonight. Just driving on the way, so I was listening in. I like your comments on T.O. He's always a guy you never know. You can never always, you know, put out of your mind. You got to keep him in the back of it. You know, he's always been on – when he was on the Eagles and when he was on the Cowboys, he's always a guy that I feared as an opposing fan with the Giants, even as early as that comeback in the 0-2 playoff with the 49ers. So I've always been afraid of a guy like T.O., and it's good to hear you guys still thinking about him.
Well, you know, I think the other thing you have to realize is even though he's had, you know, the quote-unquote locker room issues and the chemistry issues, there were none of those last year with the Bengals. There was not a peep out of him last year. It may be late for him, but I think he knows his time is limited, his options are few, and anywhere he goes – because I think he'd like to play this year and maybe one more year. I think he'd like to do the Jerry Rice and get close to 40. I mean, he did play with Rice. And, you know, so I think that's not going to be an issue. And, you know, his agent is Drew Rosenhaus. And I don't know if you guys saw the 60 Minutes clip on Rosenhaus, but, you know, the guy is everything you hear is true about him. So if anybody can get him on a team, you know, it's Rosenhaus, so we'll
he
see.
He crushes those bricks on fire. That's getting P.O. on if he can crush 9 bricks on fire in one swoop.
Yeah, hey, you know, either that or it was some good trick photography, but you know what? I ain't messing with him, man. I can't do that, so.
No way.
Hey,
maybe
so
he's got
go ahead.
Oh, no, I was thinking he had maybe a superpower should be on his cell phone all the time.
Yeah. Hey, so I believe I heard you say you were a Giants fan.
Giants fan, yep.
Well, since you did call in, we can go right into the Giants and help us understand how your Giants lost to the hapless Seahawks at home.
Well, what happened was they were complacent all games. They only really seemed to be able to put up points at the end of the half or at the end of the game when they need a drive. If they're just if they just get the ball at their own 20 and they start running it and they get into third and nine, third and eight, they don't have that ability to get open like they used to when they had a few more receiving targets out in the open field. Eli didn't have a bad game, but, you know, I really thought they were going to win. I was standing up. I thought they had it. They came back down, and they were clawing that entire game. They gave the Seahawks the ball in their territory multiple times. The defense held up. They did a great job. The defense only had maybe one drive that was really where we could have used something, but the defense gave it their all. So the offense did not come back and bail them out really hurt, even though they drove all the way down the field. But as far as losing to a team when you're a 10-point favorite at home, when you're starting a three-game stretch where their quarterback goes out halfway through the game, is just completely unacceptable. It's bad football. And like with K-Star, you know, his Steelers, they had a game they had to win. You can't justify losing to the Titans. You know, you can't justify that. So they come in, what do? They know what to do. They clean house, and they just win a game. That's a game you never see the Steelers lose, a good team. That's a game you never see the Patriots lose. That's a game you never see, you know, the Colts lose when they had Manning. But the Giants, for some reason, it's the Giants will go and beat the Eagles if, you know, assuming they were a little better, or they'll come back next week and beat the Bills or beat the Patriots, but they'll slip up against these teams where they just look like they don't have a clue. And part of it's, you know, a lot of people say it's the Eli Manning face, and he doesn't look like he has a clue sometimes during these games, but it's just the team's language or body language. And then you got Victor Cruz making steps past. None of their guys, Mario Manningham, Victor Cruz, can just catch the ball. They all have to bat it to themselves, tip it, flip it, bang it off their helmet. They cannot just catch the ball and run. They gotta top it
no
up to themselves.
Quarterback
they look
more
like they're in the
circus. No quarterback has more two interceptions I've seen in the last 5 years than Eli Manning.
Well, lucky ones or just general ones?
No, tips. Like tip at the line of scrimmage, bounce off receivers.
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen a quarterback have more tipped interceptions than Eli. I feel kind of bad for the guy, personally.
I agree. But
these things always seem to happen to him.
Because I'll watch him, and I'll defend him, and I'll say, you know, half those interceptions were his fault. I mean, 25 is too many regardless, but I completely agree with you. Like, the first week against the Redskins, the Ryan Kerrigan, that guy has to be cut blocked by the linemen. But then part of me gets frustrated when he throws the really bad ones. But a lot of those balls are tipped, and, oh, man, but it's just
yeah,
so
but let me jump in here real quick, though. When it comes to interceptions, this is where I get very frustrated because Eli throws three, you know, Vic throws four, Brady throws four, and I hear all of the excuses. It's a tip pass, it's this, it's that, it's not their fault. Romo throws three, and Romo's a choke artist, and he sucks. And to me, what's the – you know, it's if – either the quarterback is responsible or he's not. Yeah, sure. I understand. I watched the games. I saw what happened on the last play with Cruz. But Cruz was the same guy who made a phenomenal play earlier in the game. Phenomenal.
Absolutely.
Play off a tip pass. Right. Phenomenal. So, I mean, it's the same thing. You know, you get the good with the bad, right? Eli, you know, was it the best pass? I don't know. I don't play quarterback. But, hey, the guy made a phenomenal play. Cruz is – I mean, that guy's looking like something else. He's really developing into
talent,
a pretty –
sure.
Yeah, he really is. So, I got – you know. But you get the good with the bad. He tipped one that way, double coverage, got it behind the secondary, gone, touchdown. He tries another tip, but this one, you know, bounced off his hands right into the Seahawks. They score, touchdown. To me, you know, and I think Vic, even though I've been giving Vic a hard time, I got to at least agree that he finally said something that I could say, you know what, okay, I'm feeling you now, Mike. He said, you know, yeah, from where I'm sitting at, it's a tip, and, you know, you don't want tip interceptions, but you know what? It's still an interception, and it's still my responsibility to not throw interceptions. It's still on me. And I'm like,
Tom
you know
Brady,
what?
Yep.
And Tom Brady said the same thing. It's still my responsibility, you know? So I just want to just say, and I don't want to always come out to be necessarily the Romo guy, but I do want to say that if we're going to pound – Romo for throwing three or four interceptions or whatever, then we need to be fair to all these quarterbacks and just say because Eli has a history of being a little bit careless with the football too, not just interceptions but fumbles. He's got kind of a history as well, so we can't just give him a pass because he's won a Super Bowl and his last name's Manning. He's got some accountability here too. His decision making at times is a little bit in question too, and I think that as a Giant fan, I'd be very frustrated because you guys do have some talent on that team, but you know, you're a passer so away from just what happened on Sunday.
Last two notes. So the one thing about Romo where he gets a lot of heat is because Eli's picks get picked, but Romo's just so straight into the arms of the defender for pick six. I'm just messing. And then the last thing is I'm predicting Giants. I'm going out of the game on Sunday, and I think the Giants are not going to be able to defend the Bills. I think the Bills are going to have long passing drives down the field to really wear out that defense. So the offense, most teams would pound the rock and kind of, you know, control the clock, and I think the Giants look to do that almost every game, but it has not been working for them. They experimented a little bit with no huddle in the preseason. I think the Giants go to this no huddle attack. They pass all over Buffalo. They win the game like 38-34 or 35-31, and I think we see a new Giants team going forward. I'm excited about this week. I didn't have a great feeling last week, but I'm excited about this game. I think they can put up some points. And like I said, the end of the last 2 minutes of the game, or their first drive, where they have, you know, where they're passing the ball, they're moving, and they're getting into a rhythm. They're so much better when they're just trying to hand off to Bradshaw for 3 yards. You know, they don't have.
Hey, I got to ask you a question though. I got to ask you a question. Did you see the game, the Bills against the Eagles?
It didn't work for them, did it? I know.
I'm just asking because it didn't work for the Eagles, number one. And number two, the Bills, I think you're underestimating the Bills' defense. I think their defense is a little bit more stout than what you're thinking. So just
I am. That's why I don't want to come out of head on. I want to change up our attack. The Giants also have defensive coordinator Perry Fuel, who is in Buffalo, so he might know some of their tips and tricks about opening up against that defense. And they can't keep doing what they've been doing. The Giants are known for running the ball. They play probably the most boring brand of football in the NFL, and I think they're going to change it this week. I'm fully excited to see the Giants go over 30 on Sunday, and I'll call back in next week. I always listen. I love the show. I just want to say thanks, guys, for doing this, and I'll talk to you guys later.
Appreciate it. Thanks for calling in.
You heard it here first, baby. G-Men.
Yeah. What did he say?
He said something about.
I think he smacked you with a G-men at the end of that.
Oh, is that what he did? Oh.
I think so. Uh-oh. I hope so. Anyway, that was awesome.
Hey, did y'all hear? I didn't catch his name in the beginning. Did y'all catch it?
He said it real fast, man.
It sounded like Z Farrells.
Yeah, I heard that too. I thought he said Z Farrells.
Okay, well that is a guy. I know Z Farrells. He works with S. Gibbs, over at Madden Bible. And it sounded like he hadn't talked to him in a long time. He said his name so fast, and I was like, "Is this Z Files?"
I thought I heard Z Files. I don't know.
Okay. It probably wasn't. Well,
I did think I heard that. Yeah.
Yeah. He used to be in the league, and I've he's been at tournaments. And okay, so if it was him, that's great. I wasn't quite sure, and I hope it was. He's a good guy. If it wasn't, then I apologize whoever that was. But if it was Z Files, hey, good talking to you. Glad you called in. And all I'll say is that, you know, just to respond to the Romo pick six comments, did you see the game against Detroit? Are you really going to blame Romo for those pick sixes? All right, that's enough of that.
Man, before you move on, because I know you're about to dash away, I would tear up any quarterback to throw a bunch of interceptions. I don't care who you are. I don't care how long you've been in the league. You throw as many interceptions as you throw touchdowns, then, hey, you need to take better care of the ball.
And you know, that's kind of my let me jump in there with you. To me, they're all wrong. Romo, Manning, Vic, you know, as far as a pattern of throw, I can't throw Brady in there. He had a bad game, so you can't necessarily say Brady. But you know, Grossman, Orton, all these guys that have had kind of histories of high interceptions and turnovers, there's no excuses. You know, you have a bad game, you have a bad game. But I fault Romo. I don't give a I don't really, honestly, I don't care why there was a pick. Yeah, I can sit there as a fan and analyze it and say, oh, the receiver didn't do this, and, you know, the defense made a great play. And I watched we're going to get into the Detroit game, and the first touchdown that Cutler throws was right over Bobby Carpenter, who didn't even turn around. And I said that, and I stood up in my living room and I said, that's the Bobby Carpenter that we know, not the guy that jumped 18 feet and makes an interception. That's the Bobby Carpenter that got cut from Dallas. Didn't even turn around. It was like the easiest touchdown you guys have probably scored all year. So anyway, as I said, when you throw interceptions, You throw one, hey. You throw two, you get to three and up, something's
yeah,
wrong.
Yeah, you got to take better care of the ball. And, and as far as the Giants on that game, their defense, I mean, come on, it's Seattle with Lamar Jackson and Charlie Whitehurst.
Say that one more time. Say that one more time. Who's the backup?
It's Lamar Jackson backed up by Charlie Whitehurst.
And Charlie Whitehurst went into that game cold and moved the football.
Cold as ice.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm talking about he wasn't on the sidelines warming up. I'm talking about Tavares Jackson said, I'm okay. And then he said, wait a minute, maybe I'm not. And they said, get in there. And he went in there with no practice throws, no nothing, and moved the football. All right, Dre.
It's all right. Giants need better defense. All right. The Giants offense, they're a great fantasy football team offense. You got a player off their squad? Man.
Yeah.
Your fantasy football team should be killing because I got Victor Cruz. But outside of that, the team as a whole, you got to bring it together, man. You cannot employ. It's another one of those teams who one Sunday they play great. They're clicking on both sides of the ball. And the next Sunday they're imploding. And
you know what? Actually, I want to touch on that real quick. I don't mean to cut you off, but the NFC East as a whole, they almost play the same right now. If you think about the Cowboys, the Eagles, and the Giants, they just kill themselves with these turnovers, these boneheaded turnovers that result of pick sixes, that just these fumbles. They're all like the same team. They all have all the time in the world, but they just can't put it together. They're all the same team right now. Washington is the only one who has somewhat of discipline, but their quarterback still Russ Grossman, so it's like the NFC East right now is just, man.
Hey. Let me just piggyback what you're saying, and we'll give Train back the floor in a second because we are going to get to them Bears. But the NFC East is a mess, okay? And I'm an NFC East guy, and it is a complete disaster. I mean, you've got the Redskins right now at 3-1 because they beat the Cardinals and what other team did they beat? Some other hapless team. Rams. And they're 3-1, and they're looking like the monsters of the NFC East. And the Cowboys beat them, okay, but, of course, they had two other games that they had leads and couldn't close them out, so they're sitting in the middle at 2-2. Then you've got the Giants, who for a second looked like maybe they were the class of the NFC. They get spanked by the unknown hapless Seahawks. And
yeah,
then, of course, the team that we're going to spend in a minute or two on right now, the dream team, you know, Eagles, sitting at 1-4 and got spanked by the Bills. Now, let me say this. I think we all thought that the Eagles would come like, okay, Eagles, this is the Eagles' time. But I think we all agreed last week if the Bills win this game, they're for real. And I got to say now the Bills are for real. Anybody who doubts that the Bills are not a formidable team, I don't know what you're watching because they beat the Patriots. And now the Eagles are a good team. Even though they're 1-4, they have a lot of talent on their team, and the Bills went in there and handled them, okay? So the Bills are a good team, and we're going to talk about the Bills and the Patriots too, but let's go back to the Eagles. And, you know, 1-4, Vic throws 4 interceptions. The defense is a mess.
Can't stop the run. God.
Andy Reid has said that Castillo, I think his name is Castillo, Juan Castillo, who was their O-line. Their O-line's a mess, too, by the way. He was their O-line coach, and now he's over there coaching the D. And he has said he will continue to coach the D, but they might bring in a consultant. What?
Look here.
Actually, I heard the latest is they are doing a whole review of the defensive coaching staff, from what I heard. Under review.
I have a solution.
So there might be a change. Go ahead, Train.
I have a solution to the Eagles' problems. Right now, find a defense coordinator and hire another one. It's still early. You can still save your defense. Find a guy and hire somebody that knows how to use your talent because it's not working and it's not to work. And consulting is not going to work. Fire him. It is okay. You made a mistake. It's fine. We forgive you at 1-4. Bring somebody in and save your season while you still can.
And they still have a chance because the NFC East is in turmoil right now.
Oh,
they really still have a chance.
NFC East is wide open. If any team
yeah,
in that division.
Yeah, they still have a chance to get this corrected. That's what's insane about it.
Absolutely. If any team in that division decides to seriously go play some football and decides to really put a few wins together, any team in that division at this point is in control of their own destiny and can win that division running away. And I agree with you, Train. Although, up until this point, I have been against you don't fire a coordinator in the middle of the season because unless you're going to promote from within, you can't go and bring somebody new in. It's just not going to work. But you know what? What they're doing isn't working. You know, so hopefully they have somebody on staff that they can promote from within who understands what they're doing and can make some modifications to it. Because this guy and can somebody help me understand what were they thinking to promote to put this guy as their defensive coordinator who hasn't coached defense since high school? Number one.
Oh, no.
And number two, this is a defense that the legendary. Okay. Jim Johnson, right. The legendary Jim Johnson, who, to me, I hated playing the Eagles because Jim Johnson came correct every game. I don't care what McNabb was doing on the offense. You knew that defense was going to be something to reckon with. He came correct with his schemes. It didn't matter. Dawkins is out. That's okay. The freak there, he's out. It's okay. He always came in with a formula. So how do you respect that man's memory by promoting someone who hasn't coached defense since high school? High school?
And again, you're the offensive line coach. And look at that state of that offensive line. Come on, man.
I mean, as a Cowboys fan,
come on.
As a Cowboys fan, I'm happy as heck because I'm not afraid of those Eagles. Now, don't get me wrong. As a division game, anything could happen, and the Cowboys certainly haven't been playing consistently this year for me to get really happy. But what I expected, and I was wrong. I said the Eagles would gel and be probably the best team in the NFC East and win the division. I don't think that's the case. I don't think they're going to win it, and they could. But I just don't know that they're willing to make the changes that they're going to need to make at this point. Andy Reid is very loyal.
Andy Reid's a stubborn guy. He's a stubborn guy. And
he's very loyal.
He is. And I watched a lot of that game. I have Michael Vick in fantasy, so I watched plenty of that game in between commercial breaks on Steelers. And, they are bad on defense right now because, on third and longs, this is what the defense corner has them doing, okay? They're doing overload blitzes. But the free safety that's blitzing is 10 yards back off the line of scrimmage by the time he blitzes. Seriously. He's blitzing from deep within the secondary. I'm just, baffled by this. Well, how are you going to blitz this man? And just, obviously, the court is going to see immediately if he's blitzing from the free safety spot 10 yards down the field. What are we doing? What are you guys doing? And that's on the coaching staff. It's just bad. I don't know what the – they got to make a change. It's bad. It's real bad. Yeah.
It is bad. It is bad. And they're in a division that, like I said, for Cowboys and Redskins fan, I was talking to my buddy Mark today, who he might be out there listening because he'll tune in every once in a while and listen while he's at work. And we were like, hey, this is a great weekend for us because the Giants lost and the Eagles lost, and we just sat home and enjoyed it. So, if the Redskins or the Cowboys – who both have tough games coming up this weekend, if they want to step up and try to play, and we'll talk about the full slate of games coming up for next week. If they want to step up and try to get a win on Sunday, that could propel either one of those two teams really into a nice spot going into the midpoint of the season. But we'll see what happens.
Between the three Eagles, real quick, between the Eagles, Giants, and Cowboys, whichever team takes the most care of the football, probably going to win that division. All three are very talented teams. The Redskins, a little weak on talent, but they are, for the most part, pretty disciplined. They're all as a unit. They actually look like a team. But between the Eagles, Cowboys, and Giants, please, someone take care of the football. Somebody step up.
I agree. I'm hoping it's the Cowboys, but I agree. If they can keep the mistakes and the turnovers down to a minimum and play the type of football that we've seen them play in flashes, they can dominate that division and really be a force in that whole conference. But, it remains to be seen. So let's move on to the Monday night game and give Train the floor. At one point in the game, I said when the Bears went up 13-10, I said, here we go. I said, the Lions ain't ready for prime time. And I really thought that I really did think that the Bears were in control. And I really felt like they were going to win that game. And I didn't think that anymore. The Lions have moved to 5-0. They have beaten the Bears. And I was in Detroit. And, you know, my take real quick, the second half, I was not impressed with the Bears at all. They looked confused to me. The Detroit defense, I mean, the best drive the Bears had was the very last one in the second half, was the very last one when Detroit went in to prevent and just wanted to keep them out of the end zone. And, of course, I have the Detroit defense on my fantasy football team, and they're letting the Bears march up the field. I'm like, what are you doing? Don't be giving up these yards, man. I'm trying to win this damn game, man. What are you guys? And thank God I held Primer off by 2 points. Man. It was tight. Who got the animals, man? Who got animals calling in my show, man? Who got animals? Train, man. What are your thoughts on you know, talk to me about your Bears, man.
The Bears are who we thought they were?
What? Is that
weird?
Whoa,
didn't you have them winning that game? Didn't you both have them winning that game? I believe I got the
right.
Didn't you have them winning that game? Don't say you all know who they thought we were.
I did. Wait.
We just the Bears are what we thought they were. What we thought they were. We played them in preseason. Who the hell takes a third game in a preseason like it's bullshit? Bullshit. We played them in the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
All right. And caller, I see a caller on hold, 267. We'll get to you in 1 second. But go ahead, man. Talk about your Bears.
Now, editing Greens. Blast of the Bears. The Bears were who we thought they were, and Detroit did not let us off the hook. They took advantage of the weakest, the two weakest points of Chicago's team, the offensive line and the safety position. You know, it's really not a whole lot to be said. Jay Cutler probably played his best game of the season so far, managing to stay alive.
Yeah, he was running.
Rushing where he was escaping almost every single grasp. You know, he barely had any time, any chance to really throw the ball. So that offensive line, man, I don't know what they're going to do. I know we suffered the injury of one guy, but that one guy has offset the entire offense. Well, actually two people, because Spencer was in had a cast. But he was ready to play with his cast. I think him playing in his cast would have been better than Omoyale being active for the game. If that guy isn't released, which I'm still keep searching the website, waiting on them to say Omoyale has been released. I don't know. I don't know who should you release, because he's bad. For to be a veteran, to not be able to block anybody that's on that right side, that's bad. But the offensive line as a whole, at some point they got to get it together. I don't know whether they change the passing scheme or what they do, but the offensive line has to get together as a whole. But the most disheartening thing about the Chicago team right now is we have completely lost. They have completely lost the one identity that they've been known for, the defense.
That's right.
The tough defense that says no matter what y'all do offensively, with 2 minutes left in the game, you're going to have a chance to win it, because we're going to make sure you have a chance to win it. We aren't forcing any turnovers. We don't have consistent pressure on the quarterback. We are a bend and then break defense. No more bend and don't break. We're not holding people to field goals. We're not getting people off the field on third down. It's just the fear of the D is just gone. And that was the identity of the team. I mean, they already offseason destroyed our special team by changing the kickoff rule. So you kill our special team, and now the defense is just it's not the same defense. And unless they get their identity back, man, it's going to be a long season. And
well,
I'm not saying
they
can't bounce back.
But they also your comments on the offensive line were accurate. I mean, how many false starts? I mean, really? You know,
man,
I the Cowboys have had those kind of problems in their history. Not like I saw last night, but they've had false start issues with Flozell Adams. And when you have the same guy false starting, it's him. You know, that's not even coaching. That's him. Because as anybody knows, the offensive linemen should know the count and can watch the ball. So, I mean, you know, there's no excuse. And I lost track of how many. Last I saw it, it was 7. And I know there was more after that. You know, so, yeah, I mean.
The lines are a massive problem, man, for the Bears. Like, I mean, again, going into it, last one we can face, my biggest reason for being in the Lions was, look, that offensive line versus that defensive line, you know, at home with the crowd noise, that's going to be rough. And the Bears, they're just not as good. You know, they're just not nearly as good of a team. So,
yeah. Well, K-Star was right. I was wrong. I thought the Bears were going to come to play, and they did it first half, but in the second half, I mean, that was really it. And you know, the Bears are going to have a problem because in that division are the Lions and the Packers, and both have pretty good defenses and can get after the quarterback. And, you know, I hate to say it, Train, but if the Bears don't fix their problems pretty quickly, man, it's going to be a long season. Let me go to the phone.
Don't hate to see it.
I said it. Let me go ahead and get the very patient 267 area code. Welcome to the Madden Voice.
Hey, what's up, T? It's Ron, man.
Hey, I'm glad you called, brother. I saw your tweet that you would be calling in, and
I
thought it was on Dual Love tonight. Shop Master's doing his thing over there with Game Changers Radio, so shout out to Shop Master, and you know, glad you got to call in, man. Hey, you know, we already touched on them, but you can never talk too much about your Eagles, man. You know, you're there in Philly, and the Dream Team's 1-4, man. What's going on?
We dreaming right now. That's what's going on. Nobody woke up. We got the same problem that I just heard Train talking about. You got a defense that you got a team that's been known for defense. Who's now, and I don't want to say this about Chicago because I don't know, I don't really think they're an offensive threat, but we're like the NFC version of the Colts without Bob Sanders. So you'll have a team, and I know Bob Sanders has moved on, but you got an offensive team that has good defense if there was a safety, but we don't have any safeties. And on top of not having safeties, we don't have any linebackers. So we got four D linemen or 10 D linemen basically because we have 10 on the actual roster. We got good corners, you know, the three good corners, and then outside of that, we don't have anything. We can't stop anything, and our offense isn't helping us because they like to throw everything to the daggone defense. So we're really enjoying this in Philly. It's like a We're in the season of giving. It ain't even Thanksgiving yet, so it's pretty sick right now.
Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you. You're there in Philly, so just as K-Star is in Indianapolis and certainly was valuable at giving us inside stuff that we couldn't get on Peyton Manning, you're there in Philly. Is there any are the fans saying to fire your defensive coordinator? I mean, I'm sure everyone's asking why the guy got the job in the first place. But at this point, is there conversations over there about getting rid of this guy who hadn't coached the defense since high school?
It's not his fault. You can't. Why would you get rid of him? Get rid of the head coach. He made that decision. You can't get an offensive line coach, right, and say, hey, oh, you know, here's the next best move. Instead of you coaching offensive line, be my defensive coordinator. Nobody's going to think of that.
Right.
I mean, like, come on. Listen, this guy is, and to be honest with you, Juan Castile is doing a good enough job if our whole team was playing right. He's doing a good enough job. Looking at the games, and you know I have a little different eye just because of coaching. Not saying that my coaching experience is anywhere near the level of a real head coach in the NFL, college, or even high school. But just by looking at certain things, the problems that we have on defense, number one, everybody knows we can't tackle for whatever, for crap. We can't tackle. Number two, we take bad angles. Our linebackers take bad angles. To me, it looks like our linebackers don't want contact or don't want to try to tackle in the open field. So what they do is, oh, okay, I see a hole right in front of me. I'm just going to attack the hole because I know if I get out on the edge, this running back may run me the hell over or I may miss him completely. So let me just throw my hat in here and act like I'm doing something so that I don't get cursed out or some shit. I mean, I'm sorry, or some crap. So it's just, it's frustrating, man. We don't have any heart right now.
Now, you say not to fire the defensive coordinator, fire the head coach because he made the decision. But what if Andy Reid comes out tomorrow and says, I screwed up. Okay, I made a decision based on information that I had, based on who was available to be defensive coordinator, and I thought it was a good decision, and now 5 games into the season, I see it's a bad decision, so I am now going to correct that decision, and I'm going to make a change. How would you and the rest of your Philly fans feel about that? Is it too late? You shouldn't have did it in the first place, or does that get a little bit – because, I mean, Andy Reid's got a lot of years with you guys.
Yeah. I'd have fought him for waking up, and then I'd help him pack and get him the hell out of here.
Wow.
I mean, that's just how it is. Here's the deal.
That's a Philly thing for you, though.
The man made the decision when Sean McDermott, who was a defensive coordinator last year, who was second in charge when Jim Johnson was living, who did call games at the end of the Jim Johnson era, all right? You didn't like him because what? He probably went against some of the stuff Andy wanted to do? Okay, all right, so you get him out there, fine. We had the worst red zone defense in the league. Guess what? We had the worst red zone defense in the league right now. So what change that you made helped us, all right? You bring in these rookie position coaches where, for me, I don't care who the head coach is. Everything boils down to your position coaches because those are the people who actually spend the most time with your players. All right, you have Mike Zordich, who used to play for the Eagles as our safeties coach. All right, he was never a great safety. What he was a good fundamental player. So how in the world can you be a good fundamental player but all of the people who you are coaching suck at fundamentals? All right, cool. Let's go to linebackers coach. Our linebackers coach is Mike Caldwell. Who is Mike Caldwell? Mike Caldwell could not start when Levon Kirkland came here, who was like 300 and some daggone pounds. He played nose tackle for us at some times. All right, so Mike Caldwell is a mediocre linebacker. I'm sorry, I know you're a great talent because you played in the NFL, but I'm calling it like I see it. You're mediocre, so when you relate to someone who's a professional now, guess what? You're giving them mediocre coaching. All right, you're early in your career. You never made no Pro Bowl. You were a backup for the Eagles all the time. So I really don't understand why he was even, you know, called the punt. That's like us taking Freddie Mitchell and coaching daggone receivers.
Hold on. Mike McCarthy's the coach of the Packers. He didn't play a day of football. I was like, that doesn't mean anything, man. Come on. Just because you don't have the talent or it doesn't come to fruition doesn't mean you can't coach. Obviously, it's not working for you guys now.
I know that.
Plenty of coaches in the league who haven't played a down football in their life and they're successful.
Okay, but they have been coaches for how long?
For a while.
They don't just
matter.
Get thrown
he
in, right?
The
they don't just get to, you. Okay, so do you? I'm gonna give you the most. Matter of fact, let's do this. Let's take it to a different sport. Let's take it outside of football. All right. I'm gonna give you no. All right, hold on. I'm sorry. Let's keep it in football. I'm gonna give you the Patriots when they had everybody. All right, when they had Moss, Stallworth, and all them. Right. I'm gonna give you the Patriots with that team. All right. And I'm going to tell you, yes, you may have a good coaching. You may have played a little, and even if you didn't play a little, you may know a little bit about football. But this is what I'm going to do. 1 or 2 years experience, I'm going to push you out there and say, hey, I expect you to get these guys to perform. Now, do you want someone with a great track record to handle your portfolio, me saying your players, or do you want someone who's mediocre, who you can say what you want to them, and you can get them to do what you want to do, to be out there running that team? And then when they fail, all you got to say is, oh, I just got to do a better job. How you got to do a better job? You've been saying that for 13 years he's been saying he needs to do a better job. And guess what? He's still not doing a better job.
I understand that. By the way, the coordinator of that team you just said was Josh McDaniels, who hasn't played a damn football in his life either, and that's how he established himself.
Okay, but there was
that's
someone else. Hold on. That's another person. That's another person who was not McDaniels, but Moore was available. Why is Juan Castillo more qualified than Jim Moore, who's been a head coach before and who has been a defensive coordinator before?
That was a horrible hire. No, that was a horrible hire. No one's going to defend that. That was horrible. They shouldn't have hired him. But at the end of the day, right now, what he's teaching is Y9 technique of that defense with horrible linebackers. He's doing a horrible job coaching. Andy Reid has to make a change.
But this Andy Reid's fault. Detroit runs a wide nine. You saw that last night. They ain't had no problem with the run.
Yeah, because they got to run. They're disciplined over there. Jim Schwartz coached that defensive line up.
Guess what? Look at what's actually happening. Linebackers are in position to make the plays. They are not tackling. You can't blame that on coaches. That's players.
And I think Detroit's head coach, if I remember correctly, has never played a down of football.
No.
Just throwing that out there.
Who are their position? Who are their position coaches?
Detroit and the wide nine had problems with the run last night. They had problems last night with the run. Your question was not about the score. Your question was.
No, I mean, hold on. What is your job to do as a defense?
Hold on. Your question was not about the score. Your question was how did they handle the run? Detroit gave a lot of yards on the ground last night. They won the game. I'm not arguing that. But your question is that defense and is against the run. That defense didn't do well against the run.
If I'm not mistaken, Chicago, right, lives off of Matt Forte, right?
Well, yeah.
That's their go-to, right? Were they able to go to Matt Forte to help win the game, to keep drives alive?
You're adding another element to your question. Your question was, I just commented on the fact that you talk about the Y9 defense. The Y9 defense against the run last night was not all that successful.
Matt Forte had 22 carries for 116 yards, and he averaged 116, 5.3 a carry against Detroit last night.
Okay.
So I think you know we're all kind of dancing around the issues with Philly, but I think there is some agreement here that there is definitely a coaching issue. I think for me, just you know, my opinion is, and I'm not a Philly fan, not even close to a Philly fan, but I know the history of Andy Reid and that team, and I think if Andy Reid steps up and corrects his mistake, because I think. Period, he made a mistake. You put in a guy to run your defense that doesn't know what he's doing, and it's showing on the field. And yes, there's linebacker issues, there's safety issues, there's tackling issues, there's poor play issues that definitely go to Andy Reid. But that defense is being managed by a guy who doesn't know what he's doing. And Andy Reid has to step up.
He's not managing that defense at all.
He's not managing that defense at all.
I definitely understand what you're saying. But what you also have to realize is, can you name our linebackers? Are any of our linebackers good or even adequate players? So I don't care who you put in there. I don't care who you get over there to coach. All right, we got mutts as linebackers. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Why you got to play a Y9 defense? That's the problem. It's a schematic problem with you guys right now. You have to play a Y9 defense for the linebackers to clear the run. We're not doing that at all. That's the problem with the flaw of the defense.
It's a schematic problem to a point, but it's also – there's a coaching issue going on because I tell you what.
Exactly.
I can't name one of the Buffalo – I don't know if I can name any of the Bills defensive players. I got to really think hard to name a defensive player on the Bills. I know Ryan Fitzpatrick, the quarterback. I know Fred Jackson, the running back.
You got Merriman.
Merriman. Merriman plays like 15 snaps a game. I mean, he don't even start anymore.
Nick Barnett has been making a lot of plays from Green Bay. He came in there, middle linebacker.
Yep, Barnett. That's right. Barnett.
Bowman. Bowen. Who is it? You got a number 31. That safety.
Bird. Something
is a
Bird.
Monster.
Something Bird. I don't know. He's pretty opportunistic.
Yeah, he's a monster.
But you know,
they got a playmaker at each level.
I don't think you can underestimate. I mean, I know your history, you know, Ron. I know what you do as far as coaching.
Yeah,
so I know you. I know you know how important coaching is. And I think in this situation, the head coach is always culpable. He's always going to get blamed because he's the head coach. But when you get past blaming Andy Reid and you say Andy Reid made some mistakes here, and he did, absolutely. He promoted this guy and he didn't have to do it. But the personnel, I mean, to a point, yes, you could say, you know, there's no Jeremiah Trotter anymore and all of that.
No Sean Bradley or none of them. Right. Ernie Sims, nobody
can say that. But you do have guys that are getting paid a couple $1 million a year to play football,
yes, sir,
for the Philadelphia Eagles. And that coach's job, that coach's job is to get them ready to play each week. And I think,
yes,
he's not doing it. And to me, the first place I look is, you know, if I'm a fan, I'm like, I mean, yeah, Andy Reid's responsible because he put him in that position, but the guy's not doing a job either. You know, he's not doing a job. So, I mean, hey, I ain't mad about it. Cause, hey, keep doing what you're doing. Do you think your team hasn't, I mean, do you see anything? You're there in Philly. Are you hearing anything that makes you optimistic for the future? I laugh when I look at Big Gene on Facebook. I read it. I don't even bother him about it now because my teammates are doing all that much better. But Big Gene is just sitting up his – I mean, I read his posts like, I'm glad they lost. And I'm like, damn, dude, I mean, that is your team, man. You talking about, I'm glad they lost, you know.
Yeah,
he's a weak fan. I love Gene.
Like,
he's a bad fan, man. That's a Philly fan right there.
Yeah, honestly, we want Andy gone, and that's what you're saying is that the Philly fan, that's true, because we as fans don't accept mediocrity. We just don't. You can't keep taking us or saying, hey, it's good enough to get to the playoffs and fail every year. You can't do that. You tried to blame it on the quarterback first. You tried to blame it on McNabb, so you ship him out of here. All right, then you bring in. You promote Cobb, then Cobb gets hurt. He looks horrible in preseason. He gets hurt in the first game, so you bench him. Then you get him out of here. Now we see what he's doing over in Arizona. He's not doing anything, just heaving it up, which he was trying to do over here. But at no point is the coach taking any responsibility for anything. Only
but
thing
he should be happy about Kevin Cobb.
Andy Reid
got a ransom for Kevin Cobb. He's developed. The thing about Andy Reid is, I know you don't like him, I understand that, but he developed Michael Vick to turn into a good quarterback.
I like him. He didn't develop Michael Vick. Come on, man.
Really? Michael Vick's not playing good quarterback?
You got to cut that out.
All right,
he didn't develop
Michael
Vick.
Okay. All right. Michael Vick's not making progressions, not progressing as a passer. All right. That's news to me.
To be honest, I think he's ruining Michael Vick right now.
Michael Vick
is sitting in the pocket too long. Michael Vick's not doing what
he's
gave
not playing to
what,
with his skill set.
What gave
he is
Michael,
not playing to his skill set.
Michael Vick made
his
contract for $100 million, okay, $40 million guaranteed because of what he did last year. What he did last year was run around and make plays. That's what he did. Okay, I know because he made enough on us, okay? Mm-hmm. And this year
– he didn't run around last year. He made progressions. He was a good quarterback last year.
He was a good quarterback, but part of being for him, his game is mobility, is agility, is running around, buying time, and making plays. And if he sees an opening, boom, 15, 20, 25 yards upfield. That's always been Vic's game, and that's what we saw last year. Okay, and this year he is. Yeah, you know, there was ESPN and Fox Sports saying that Vic, you know, is being more patient and being more. The guy didn't he almost hit 1,000 yards again last year? So I mean, I don't know what they're talking. What they're talking about
last year? I don't know. That's
what I'm saying.
Mike Vick last year was making progressions. He looked like a real quarterback last year. I mean, I understand now the offensive line is horrible, and Vic needs to be running around. Because the offensive line is horrible. Vic needs to run. Vic needs to run right now only because the offensive line is so bad. That's the only reason why.
It
wasn't this horrible
last year. As a matter of fact, it's better than last year because we don't
have
Jason Justice out there. Yeah, there is a way.
Jason Peters is out right now. Last year, you guys are at least decent.
He just went out. You acting like he's been out the whole season.
He just went out, and look how bad it was. I'm just saying, look, that offensive line's horrible.
Listen, we've had turnovers every single week. We haven't had a single game yet where our offense hasn't turned over the ball multiple times. I mean, it's the same line. The same coaches are there. You got a better offensive line coach this year, Howard Mudd. The same guy who put everything together in Indianapolis. So you upgraded at that level. But at the same time, now we're playing worse. You drafted a right guard from Colorado or wherever the hell he's from. For was it Colorado or Baylor or whatever? 28-year-old guy who didn't play football until he got to college or something, and the man can't even get on the field. He just got his first action this week. Like, I mean, look, listen, and everybody's already said this, all right? The problem with a 6-foot quarterback, all right, is you have to get him out the pocket so that he can see the field, or you have to drop him far back so that he can see over the line, all right? If you're going to try to get him to sit and stand in a pocket, Howard Mudd's scheme is you need to drop back. You don't drop back really more than 6 or 7 yards, and then you step into the pocket. Well, guess what? A 6 foot, or really under 6 foot, because Mike Vick isn't really 6 foot, all right, a guy who's under 6 foot can't see over linemen who are 6'3", 6'5", or 6'7". So you got to get him out the pocket.
Absolutely.
And that's
actually, they were dropping him back real far. They hit like 7 steps. I'm
exactly.
Not sure why they're not really doing it as much.
We're not doing
I'm not sure why they aren't doing it as much. I got to agree with that. Maybe it's because they can't pass protect
with
the standard.
Here's the problem with Andy Reid. The same thing that he did with Donovan. First, they start off stressing the West Coast system. And the West Coast system isn't all about the actual play calling. The West Coast system is about the footwork of the quarterback. That determines the routes. That determines you have certain passes and certain drops in your footwork. All right, so now they stress all that to get them into good footwork. After they get into good footwork or see that these guys can grasp that stuff, they break that and start getting them into these half-moon, I call them half-moon play actions. And you'll see it, and where he'll come out and act like he's giving the ball to Shady, and then he'll roll. It's not like a bootleg, but it's similar to a bootleg. He's just not leaving a pocket. So you go from saying, hey, you need to stress three steps, you need to stress 5 steps, and then get the ball out, to a lazy 5-step drop, and then you wonder why your quarterback doesn't have a good platform to deliver the ball. You just taught him everything, and then you're tearing it apart. Mm. I mean, it's horrible, man. But real quick.
The one thing I can think of why they're not dropping him back as much is because people are blitzing a lot more than they were beginning last year against Vic. I mean, towards the end of last year, that's where games are blitzing a lot off the edge. He doesn't have time right now to take those 7-step drops, but they got to fix that because that offensive line's horrible.
And you can't, and you have to drop him, and you have to. The problem is you can't counter that, because the way you counter a blitz is you get rid of the ball quick. But I can't get rid of the ball on a 3-step drop because my dad going tackles is 6'7", so I don't see my receiver. So I'm gonna throw a blind throw, and as we can see, he won't do it. And the quarterback before him wouldn't do it. McNabb wouldn't do it. All right? It is what it is.
It is what it is. Well.
Oh, man. Real quick, can I just mention what I'm doing now to you? Is that cool?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, yeah. So I know you guys have I'm more animated than I normally am, but that's because I'm now doing sports blogs for a major, a top five market radio station, Hot 107.9 Philly, of course, in Philadelphia. So can you please follow me at Philly_Ron on Twitter and look for my sports blog. I really appreciate everybody just clicking. Just give me 60 seconds of your day. See what I got to say. If you don't agree with what I'm saying, please tell me you don't agree with what I'm saying. I love conversations like we're having on the phone, and you know, I'll continue to reach back to the Madden community and see what else I can offer to you guys.
So this will be on your Twitter. We can find this on your Twitter.
Yes, sir. Find me on
Okay. Find
it on my Twitter, and I look forward to talking with you guys more.
Sounds good. Appreciate it, Ron, man. Thanks for calling in.
All right, man. Take care.
All right, man. Take care.
Cool.
All right. It's nice to hear someone else as passionate about their team as I am, you know.
I like to get people who know their team and get their view, because you get information that you're not, you know, that you wouldn't normally hear.
Yeah, but I think K-Star was right. I mean, I love Ron. I think Ron's a class act, but he is a typical Philly fan. he's definitely a Philly fan. But all right, so we've beaten up the Eagles enough for one day, so no more Eagle talk. Let's move on to the what was supposed to be the game of the week, but I don't really think it was. The Patriots and the Jets. And, you know, K-Star, you're our AFC guy, but real quick, I'm just going to say, I feel like at this point the Jets are not who we thought they were. They're not as good as we thought they were. That game was nowhere near as close as the score indicated, in my opinion. 30-21 to me is deceitful. I think the Patriots just had control of that game from the beginning to end, and the Jets just never really they were you kind of thought they might make a run and do something, and then you know Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, my brother, because I got him on one of my fantasy teams, just kept running and running and running, and you know, and when Brady needed to make a play, he made a play, and you know they put up 30 again for the 13th time in a row. I mean, wow. Won another home game, and you know, it just didn't feel like a normal Jets Patriots game that we've seen over the last couple of years. It just looked to me like the Jets were just not the Jets that I've seen play. They just didn't seem quite the same energy, and maybe it's just the Patriots were just that good, or I don't know. But I was really surprised that the Jets, to me, didn't look like they had the normal fight that I've seen out of a Rex Ryan coached Jets team. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. K-Star, what do you think?
It's tough. You know, I think the Jets are kind of trying to figure out who they are right now. You know, they're going back to the ground and pound, and they had some success running the football. Sean Green finally had a good day into the life all time. But defensively, they can't really stop the run that well. They have a great pass defense. I believe it's number 2 or 3 in the league. But the other day right now, they can't stop the run, and that's a problem because Rex Ryan, coach football teams, always stop the run. That's the key to success, blow up the run, you know, and then scheme against the pass. Well, right now, it looks like they're scheming against the pass because they can't stop the run. So that's an issue, and you're absolutely right. The score is definitely not indicative of how the game went. The Patriots had like a I know you hate talking about it, but tipped interception. Aaron Hernandez hit him right in the hands in the end zone. It got picked off right before half.
Yeah.
And they just controlled the game, you know. Like you said, that offense for the Jets right now, again, I feel like they're trying to figure out who they are, and that's not really a good point. Not halfway through the season, but quarter through the season, trying to, you know, figure out who they are. So, I don't know. The Jets, they have some problems right now. They can't stop the run, and offensively, again, they're just trying to find themselves. Mark Sanchez isn't playing good football right now, and that's a problem, because when you play someone against the Patriots, you have to play good. You have to have good quarterback play. Again, of your leader, and they're just not having that right now, and they can't stop the run. So they got some fundamental issues. I actually think they will get this righted because I do feel like Rex Ryan is a good football coach, and they do have some talent there. I feel like they'll get it together. We're about to catch the Bills at this point. The Patriots are kind of should be out of sight, out of mind, because right now they're in time. They can't compete with them.
You know, I got to tell you, side note, I love fantasy football and I hate it at the same time because I'm in two leagues. And in one league, I needed Aaron Rodgers to go ahead and catch that touchdown. And in another league, I was playing against Tom Brady and I didn't need him to throw a touchdown. And
yeah.
I'm sitting over there dying. I'm like, why am I in this position? So anyway, but I managed to win both games and I'm 4-1 in both my leagues. Thank you very much. You didn't hear me? 4-1. In both my leagues. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Train, what are your thoughts, man? You're I know you like to watch the Jets because you like defense, but we're not seeing the same Jets D that we're used to. You know, any thoughts on this game?
Well, I don't ever expect to see the same Jets D that I'm used to against the Patriots, you know, as for that matter. But, you know, just a couple tips for the Jets. One, keep your mouth closed, play football. Two, I think my compass is broken because I can't find Revis Island. I mean, did it move? Did they destroy it? Did it get, you know, did someone bum it? I mean, what happened to Revis Island?
Yeah,
this is welcome, what, this is the problem when these young players come in, 2 years, see a little success, all of a sudden you want a bunch of money. Do it for a while first. Do it until someone figures you out. And then keep doing it. Then ask for money. Other than that, I mean, they had said about the Jets. I just hope their defense pick back up because they're my fantasy football team.
You know, to be honest, I mean, Revis did a decent job on Welker. Welker did give that one long touchdown, or actually he didn't score, but that one long play. And if you take that away, Revis actually didn't do a bad job when he was covering Welker, but you couldn't tell because Brady spreads the ball around and Deion Branch had a good game. And so, you know,
Marty was good beat.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Gronkowski and Hernandez and, you know,
weapons,
just,
man.
He's got a lot of weapons. So, but I agree with you, though. But I agree with you completely. And I think Deion Sanders said it best when he was talking about Darrelle Revis. And he said, you know, he's a good quarterback, but, you know, he's. You know, I'm not going to, you know, tell him, you know, he's not the best. You know, he doesn't deserve any of these accolades yet. He hasn't done it for long enough, you know, and Darrelle Revis called Sanders a hater. He said he's just a hater. And Sanders said, why would I be a hater? You'd have to do something I haven't done for me to hate on you. You know, I've done it all. He said, I'm the GOAT, baby. I'm the greatest of all time. You know? So,
well,
and
you
I was
know he got a show, 21 in prime time?
You know, I'm sitting there like, go on, Deion, because Deion is definitely one of my favorite players. But So the Patriots won. The Bills, we already talked about, won. They're both 4-1. The Bills have beat the Patriots. So are we ready to say the Bills are the best team, not only in the AFC East, but maybe in the entire AFC at this point? Are we ready to crown them? Are we ready to anoint them? I mean, coming out of my own mouth. I can't even really enunciate it, but I mean, they did beat the Patriots.
Man,
we got to get some more road games out of Buffalo, by the way.
I'm not even the AFC person, but I'll say this: I understand that they beat New England. New England is still the best team in the division. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I don't care that Buffalo beat them. New England is still the best team in that division.
Man, them Bills, man. What do them Bills have to do to get them some respect? They're like, man, we're beating everybody you put in front of us, and we still, you know, we beat the team that you guys are saying is the best. But you know what? Right now, I have to agree with you.
Yeah.
Right. I still have to say, I just, you know, it's kind of like the same. It's the same thing when you ask about, and we could talk about this one too. The Packers, they beat up on the Falcons there, and you know, it's the same thing again where you have, except they haven't played the Detroit yet, but it's the same question. Detroit's 5-0. Detroit has won now 13 straight games, and they've won 9 straight regular season games going back to last season. And so you start to say, and you know what, and I will now say that Megatron is who we thought he was. I was a little on the fence. I really was. But, you know, I really, you know, after watching him against the Bears, who I still respect the Bears D, maybe I'm living back in 1985, I don't know, but I still respect the Bears D, and Megatron still got off. The guy's nasty. So that said, it's the same conversation to me where it's, you can make an argument as to how good the Lions are, but I still think the Packers are a better team than the Lions. And you can certainly even make an argument, a bigger argument, with the Bills because they beat the Patriots. But, man, the Patriots are just the Patriots, man. I mean, you know, they're the Patriots. You know, they have Tom Brady. The Bills don't. The Packers have Aaron Rodgers. The Lions don't. And to me, that's at the end of the day. And you know where I get that from? I get that from Gino Auriemma, okay? Gino Auriemma coached Diana Taurasi. Diana Taurasi won 3 straight championships for UConn Lady Huskies, okay? I'm in Connecticut, so I hear all this stuff. And when they interview Gino and they said, what's the difference between UConn and every other team? He says, we have Diana Taurasi and they don't, period, you know? And I was like, damn, you know? And it's the same thing. It's like the Patriots have Tom Brady and the other teams don't, and the Packers have Aaron Rodgers, and those two are, like, on their own level right now. In my opinion,
man,
you have 1 and 1A. I have to say Rodgers right now is 1, but Tom Brady is a close 1A. And those two guys, I mean, Breeze is in that discussion, but he's not there. But he's honorable mention. And then that's it. There's no one else to talk about to me quarterback-wise. You know, there's a lot of guys that could be making runs, but there's no one else to talk about when you get away from those 2 to 3 quarterbacks.
I think we had a debate about this. We had a debate about this at the beginning of the first show about Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wait, what was that?
Yeah. We had a debate about Aaron Rodgers in the first show. Was he up there with Tom Brady? Yeah.
I still say Tom Brady. I'm not changing my tune. Exactly. I know other people are a little, you know, staying credit. I mean, obviously Aaron Rodgers is going to have a real good season, a great quarterback. Don't get me wrong, but I'm just saying Tom Brady, he's got that aura. He's got that Tom Brady Golden Boy aura thing going. But one thing, I know Tom, I don't mean to be a homer, but I'm just saying, man, I wish Big Ben had that offensive line that Tom Brady has. I really do. Brady has all day to throw the ball at times. I just wish for a second we had offensive line comparable to New England, just so Ben can actually get a chance to swing that ball around. That's all I wanted to touch on that. But the Patriots are scary. That's for sure. At the end of the day, they're the only team I fear in the AFC. The Ravens, you know, they still, you know, put up a fight against us, and, you know, obviously they beat us week one, but at the end of the day, I'm pretty sure we know how the story ends. But, you know, New England, they're the team to beat in the AFC. I think it's between us and New England at the end of the day. I hope someone takes New England out. I hope Baltimore plays New England or something and beats them in the playoffs. I don't want to see them personally. So that'd be great, Baltimore, if you could do that again for us.
So, you know, as our clock ticks, just quickly, the Saints very quietly sitting at 4-1, came back to beat the Panthers 30-27. We don't really have to get too much into that game, but you know, with all the Cam Newton accolades, and he's the real deal, they are at 1-4. I'll just put that out there.
Yeah.
But you know, I will pat myself on the back, because I believe that there was some doubts about my call that the 49ers would beat the Bucks, and that the 49ers came to play, and they are for real. Does anybody now want to question my call that the 49ers are for real? Because they crushed.
Nah, they're good. They're good, man. That defense, so, man, they made some key additions with Carlos Rogers and Dante Whitner, and Jim Harbaugh's doing a hell of a job. They actually look like a real football team. They're really good.
Yeah.
Thank you. They played Detroit this week. Yeah, I think now they're for real outside of the division, and they're playing Detroit this week. Oh, that's going to be a game that I will
be a good game.
Sure. I take a look at, because, man.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and listen, announcers and prognosticators out there, the Vikings won because they finally gave the ball to Adrian Peterson. McNabb is still done. He did nothing that game. They just gave the ball to Adrian Peterson. He scored three touchdowns. That's it. I mean, I'm hearing all of this. Oh, the Vikings won it. Adrian Peterson had three touchdowns, 120-something yards rushing. And they played the Cardinals. So McNabb's done. Forget about him. He's done. Put Ponder in for – I mean, he's done. McNabb's done. He's done. He may have one game where he throws for 250 yards and everyone will say maybe not. He's done. Trust me, he's done. All right. Bengals are at 3-2. Thought we'd throw that out there. They took out the Jags. Jags aren't really a team to be impressed with, but the Bengals are 3-2. So just put them on your radar screen real quick. But the last thing I wanted to kind of touch on before we touch on the Raiders and Al Davis real quick, and then look at the games coming up. You know, a lot of discussion, and I was in my office all day, so I have not watched a stitch of sports today. So I could be like missing something here. But the Chargers won, but Tebow finally came in, they brought him in and they benched Orton, and he gave the team a spark. Apparently, ran for a touchdown, threw for a touchdown. And I even had a chance at the end of the game, you know, a little Hail Mary action to pull out a game over, you know, the Chargers, who are, you know, a contender every year. You know, and they may have announced it today, so you guys.
They announced it. He's a starter. He's a starter.
He's a starter. Okay, so nothing to debate. I was going to say it's Tebow time.
It is. Yeah. I'm excited for it. Real quick. The Patriots-Jets game was on, right? And, you know, I was watching it. You know, Patriots-Jets, always a good matchup. But when Tebow came in, I couldn't help but watch that game. You know, Tebow just – the stats don't – he's not ever going to have pretty stats. It's not his game. You know, it's just one of those things where it's almost – he's mystifying. Like, that team looked completely different when he was in the game. They started coming back. You could see the team belief. The defense was getting hype. You know, the crowd was just insane. That stadium was rocking. There's something about Tim Tebow, man. I'm looking forward to seeing how it all plays out. But, man, there's just something that you can't explain. You can't put your finger on it. But there's something about Tim Tebow that's just different. He's just a different kind of mold. And you don't know what it is. You can't put your finger on it. But, again, something changes when he comes on that field. It's just, it's insane.
Yeah, you're good until you get film on you.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a whole nother question. But, you know, he definitely he brings energy and a life to the team, and I think a lot of it is just who he is as a person. But you know, one lesson that I think teams got to learn is stop taking Chicago Bear throwaway quarterbacks, please. when the Chicago Bears throw them away, then let them go off into the wilderness. I've said it, you know, and Trey and I have talked about the Bears quarterbacks over the years. I mean, Kyle Orton and Rex Grossman both, to me, are subpar quarterbacks. I'm sorry. And I know Orton played in the Super Bowl. Was it Orton who played? Or which one played in the Super Bowl, Trey? It was Orton, right? Oh, it was Grossman? See, I can't even remember which one. But, you know, Grossman, like Eli Manning, played in the Super Bowl because of an incredible defense. You know, just wasn't fortunate enough to get the win. But, Chicago gets rid of a quarterback. Don't pick him up. Let him go. All right. Let's quickly talk about Al Davis, and then let's look at next week's games. And this is more of a respect thing. I got to say this, and it may not be a popular thing that I'm about to say, but because one of my best friends, Chuck, is a huge Raiders fan, so hopefully you don't get mad at me. But, you know, Al Davis passed away, and, you know, it was really, like, I heard words like iconic and legendary and all of these things, and I don't disagree with any of that. But it's interesting that as he was managing the Raiders over the last several years, how so many people hated his management style, down the guy. Even Raiders fans can't wait till Al Davis passes away. He screwed up this team, the way he handled Lane Kiffin or whatever the guy's name was, a coach, and, you know, hands-on and too involved. And that's what I heard from the Raider Nation for so many years. Then he passes away, and it's like, oh, Al Davis. And I'm like, hey, I know what the guy meant to the game of football. So as a football person, it's a sad day because the guy over 50 years has done as much for football, pro football, as anybody ever. You know, Landry, Lambeau, Brown, you name it, he's right up there. Gil Brandt, you name it, he's there. And you can't doubt that. You know, he's responsible, very much partly responsible for the Super Bowl format we have today. You know, and just so many things that he did.
Merger, all that stuff.
Right. You know, I mean, you know, guys, go online and just do a search for Al Davis and read some of the things that he's done, and it's just amazing. The Hall of Fame, they were in the first Hall of Fame game. They were the first team to have 16 consecutive winning seasons. You know, he hired Art Shell in a time where hiring a black head coach was taboo, and he went ahead and did it. So, you know, he got my respect just for that alone. So I don't down him, and I respect what he's done. It's just interesting to me how much everybody just forgot all the negativity and just really gave this, you know, it's like, you know, I don't know. It's just amazing to me. And I kind of wish people would remember that stuff when the person's alive, you know, like,
yeah.
Hey, this is the
same
thing.
It's the Michael Jackson effect, man.
Yeah, it really is. It's the same guy, you know. Now he's passed away, and you know. But anyway, hey, all the respect in the world to Al Davis, and really great to see the Raiders win that game. You know, if for no other reason, just to honor Al Davis's memory, because he's often quoted as just saying, "Just win, baby," and that's what they went and did. And so, congratulations to the Raiders. And Raiders are 3-2, and they beat the Texans. Now.
Yeah,
Texans are Andre Johnson-less. Now they're Mario Williams-less for the year. You know, we don't know if this is going to be the same Texans team, but you do have to now say the Raiders are a team you cannot take lightly. And now that they have even another reason to play, I'm just saying.
I had the Raiders in that game, by the way. But, yeah, the Raiders are a good team. Like, you know what I thought was cool real quick about Al Davis?
Yep.
With the players Al Davis drafted high, he got a lot of crap for, showed up to play for him. You know, Darius Hayward Bay had a very good game, had a key touchdown in the comeback. Sebastian Janikowski, who he drafted in the first round years and years ago, you know, nailing 350-yard field goals. It was just kind of cool to see a bunch of those guys, you know, that Al Davis had a hand in, like a huge hand in that he actually got criticized for, stepped up and made huge plays for them to win that game. I just thought that was kind of
cool. Quick Al Davis story, and I'll let Chain jump in real quick, and then we'll look at next week's game. But quick Al Davis story that I read on the internet to show the type of loyalty he has to Raider Nation. Apparently, Howie Long's grandmother had gotten sick, and he was trying to get him in, get her into this, I think it was some form of cancer, and so he was trying to get her into a particular hospital that had like the top reputation in the country for treating this type of cancer. And he's Howie Long, you know, multimillionaire, actor, you know, commentator, and, you know, he called and, you know, they have a waiting list, and he's like, look, I'll make a huge donation, $100,000, $200,000, whatever, you know, I really want to get her in. And they're like, well, sorry, Mr. Long, I mean, we just can't do it. And so he calls Al Davis, and he says, you know, I don't know if there's anything you can do, but, you know, my grandmother, I'm trying to get her in this hospital, and, you know, they won't budge. And Al says, okay, I'll call you right back. Calls him back 20 minutes later and says, okay, bring her in. They're expecting her. You know, that's the kind of stuff I like. That's loyalty right there. You know, that's and that's I got to respect that he took care of his players even long after, you know, they weren't necessarily, you know, on the field. He still took care of them, and I got a lot of respect for that. Train, any comments on this?
I'm kind of young school with the NFL, so I don't know all of Al Davis' accomplishments, but I know he was definitely cemented in that team, because anytime I heard about Raiders, I heard about Al Davis. So, but as far as the Raiders team, as far as them being a competitive team, I actually saw it the first game of the season when they played against Denver.
Right.
Like he drafted, you know, he, with his hand involved in the draft, he wanted speed on that team. And they have speed on both sides of the ball, on offense and on defense. And they're a very fast team to play against. And they play, like, all over the place. If they look really sporadic in the first game against Denver, but at the same time, they look scary. So I'm not looking forward to the Bears seeing them later on this season, because they are a scary team to play against.
Yeah, they are. Let's look at next week's games. pardon me, guys. Pardon me. Probably doesn't come through the radio too good, so I apologize. But next week's game, the Bills at the Giants. Train, thoughts?
Bills Giants. Wow. Are we going to have another sporadic NFC East team? If so, then let's go Bills.
All right. You got a prediction?
Who's at home? That's
Bills at the Giants. Giants
Bills
are home.
Giants. Whew. Man, I really want to say Giants. The Giants are a talented team, and when they play well, dude. But the Bills are actually for real. So, I'm going to say Bills.
Okay, Star?
I got the Giants at home. Bills need to prove to me on the road. They lost to Cincinnati. I think the Giants will respond at home. It's the Bills after a weak performance in Seattle.
Okay. Bills. Not even going to elaborate. Bills. Pick another game, Eagles at the Redskins. Now, remember, Eagles are 1-4. And will they go to 1-5, K-Star?
No, I want to pick them again. Yeah, come on, guys. Get this right. Like, too much talent. Like, come on. Mike Vick, you have those receivers. You have all the talent on defense. Come on. Get together. There's so much more talent at the team of Washington. They just have to have some kind of semblance of a game plan. I expect them to win, finally. If they don't, then it's just all hope is gone at that point.
Train.
Okay. I'm going to do this for one more week. This is killing me in the pick'em.
Yeah.
I'm going to ride with the Eagles. It's time for them to turn around. Let's stop playing. Let's get the old Michael Vick back. The defense needs to wake up a little bit, just to make a few tackles, and go ahead and beat the Redskins. You know what I'm saying? Because they really are more talented than the Redskins. They really are. Win the game. So, let's go Eagles.
Everything you guys are saying, I agree with. Skins are home. Shanahan's the coach. If anybody can get the Skins up for a big game, It's them. I am off the Eagles bandwagon. They are not the dream team. They are a nightmare. I don't think they're going to fix it for this game. I think they go to 1-5. I'm going Skins. Arguably, no, it's not the game of the week, but it's doggone close. 49ers at the Lions.
Wow.
Train?
Man, I'm going 49ers.
Look,
I need the Lions to take a loss. But just beside that, okay, our team is dysfunctional in some areas. You know, there's dysfunction in some areas. So, yeah, we lost that game. But at the same time, I saw the Lions get a late start to that game to actually get it rolling. And I think the 49ers, who have been playing down football, they did have one good comeback against the Eagles. But I think that they can take advantage of a Lions slow start. And I think they can, you know, with Alex Smith not making the mistakes that he used to make at quarterback, I think they can get this game from Detroit and get their first loss. Let's go
K-Star. K-Star.
It's a tough game. I'm going to keep it simple. I got Detroit. They're at home. It's going to be a very close game. Detroit's at home. I got to give the slight edge to them.
I'm torn with this game. Detroit is home. If it was in San Francisco, I'd take 49ers all day. I believe the 49ers are a good team, but I don't think they're going to go into Detroit and win. I think the Lions are going to go to an amazing 6-0. So, Lions, we don't have to pick this game, but I want everybody to know I see a trap game on the schedule. The Rams at 0-4 go to Green Bay at 5-0. I think we'll all pick Green Bay, so I'm not even going to bother, but keep an eye on that game because that is the classic trap game. Let's see. I'm trying to pick just the good ones here. In my opinion, the game of the week will be the last one we pick, the Cowboys at the Patriots. Cornstar.
What's the status of Miles Austin, by the way? Is he playing?
The Cowboys are healthy. Austin practiced yesterday, practiced today, and he is starting.
That's huge. Saying that, I'm going to go to New England. But that's huge. I like New England. It's in New England. You know, they don't lose in New England.
Okay.
Brady.
Train?
Oh, Dallas, New England. New England.
I'm going to pick the Cowboys, of course, but I'm going to tell you why. One, the Patriots' defense has been suspect, and the Cowboys' offense, when it's clicking, is as good as any offense in the NFL. A lot of weapons when they're clicking, tough to stop. Orlando Scandrick is back, just got a new contract. And he's fast, he's shifty, and I think he's going to – I mean, it's hard for anyone to cover Wes Welker. But I think Scandrick is going to do okay. I don't think he's going to shut him down. I think he's going to do okay. Sensabaugh is back. Our defense – I mean, this Cowboys team is coming off a bye, and they are as healthy as they've been all year. Newman is playing. Jenkins is playing. You know, I mean, the guys that are hurt are second-string guys. We have 22 starters that are playing in this game for the first time all season. I know the Patriots at home, but I think they're right. I think they're right for the picking. They played the game that I expected them to play against the Jets, and so they're not going to come into this game angry, pissed off. We just blew it. But the Cowboys blew a game against Detroit at home. And everyone is doubting them, and now they're going to New England. They went to Detroit, and nobody thought they had a chance. Everyone picked Detroit. Now they're going to New England. It's going to be the same thing, and even worse now because of what happened in Detroit. They're going to go in, and they're going to be pissed off. Jason Garrett's going to have them ready. It's going to be a great game, and, you know, if Romo doesn't do what we saw him do against Detroit, the Cowboys win, picking the Cowboys. All right. I want to thank you guys. We're probably going to go over a couple of minutes because I want to touch on Steve Jobs. But before we sign off, Let me go to Train. As a lot of people don't know that Train has been, as long as I've known him, in PhD school, and at some point we are looking forward to be able to call you Dr. Train. I'm looking forward to Dr. Train, you know, and it's getting close, but he's not there yet, but he's been working hard and it's coming. But as a man who is getting his PhD around technology, do you have any thoughts on the passing of Steve Jobs?
Honestly, man, not a whole lot. I mean, I understand what he's done as far as technology is concerned, and with the company, what he's done with Apple and everything. But no, honestly, no, not a whole lot of thoughts. You know,
okay.
he battled the illness, and you know, but you know, his contributions will, you know, never be forgotten.
Okay, I will just say this, and you know, anyone who doesn't truly understand the impact that this guy had on technology needs to go and do some research, because I don't care what type of phone you're carrying, Steve Jobs impacted. I don't care what type of computer you're using, he impacted. I don't care what type of tablet computer you're using, they set the standard, they set the bar, and it was Steve Jobs. You know, the things that he's done over the last 30 years, it's incredible. It's not just wow, it's holy shit. And when losing him, there will not be another Steve Jobs in our lifetime. It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. He has impacted, I mean, and if you think about what's happened with technology, with the Facebooks and the Twitters and you know, the Skypes, and all of that stuff was made possible because of the machines that he designed. And all of the copycats wouldn't be there. There'd be no Droid. Okay, for all you Droid users that think Droid's better than iPhone, maybe it is. But there'd be no Droid without the iPhone. For all you Motorola Zoom users that think your Zoom is better than the iPad, maybe you're right. There'd be no Zoom without the iPad. And for all you Windows users who think that Bill Gates is a genius, well, it's common knowledge that he stole the concept from the Apple IIe system that had their operating system, and he stole the whole concept of Windows was swiped from Steve Jobs and Apple. That's fairly common knowledge if you do a little research. So no matter what computer or whatever the device you're sitting on, the man that allowed you to find out that he passed away, more than likely, was Steve Jobs. And with that said, as we sign off, and I want to thank Cornstar, K-Star, for being a great guest as always, and I want to thank Train for everything that he does, helping us make the show an incredible show. I want to thank the people that called in, the people that listened. And, hey, all you guys that send tweets and contacts, I read every single one of them. I appreciate it. I try to respond to every one of them if I can. Keep it up. The Madden Voices on Twitter, and I keep sending us messages. But I want to sign off today with the words of Steve Jobs as we go off the air to Madden Voice this week. Steve Jobs, in his own words, talking about death.
My third story is about death. When I was 17, I read a quote that went something like, "If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right." It made an impression on me, and since then, for the past 33 years, I've looked in the mirror every morning and asked myself, if today were the last day of my life, would I want to do what I am about to do today? And whenever the answer has been no for too many days in a row, I know I need to change something. Remembering that I'll be dead soon is the most important tool I've ever encountered to help me make the big choices in life. Because almost everything, all external expectations, all pride, all fear of embarrassment or failure, these things just fall away in the face of death, leaving only what is truly important. Remembering that you are going to die is the best way I know to avoid the trap of thinking you have something to lose. You are already naked. There is no reason not to follow your heart. About a year ago, I was diagnosed with cancer. I had a scan at 7:30 in the morning, and it clearly showed a tumor on my pancreas. I didn't even know what a pancreas was. The doctors told me this was almost certainly a type of cancer that is incurable and that I should expect to live no longer than 3 to 6 months. My doctor advised me to go home and get my affairs in order, which is doctor's code for prepare to die. It means to try and tell your kids everything. You thought you'd have the next 10 years to tell them in just a few months. It means to make sure everything is buttoned up so that it will be as easy as possible for your family. It means to say your goodbyes. I live with that diagnosis all day. Later that evening, I had a biopsy where they stuck an endoscope down my throat, through my stomach and into my intestines, put a needle into my pancreas and got a few cells from the tumor. I was sedated, but my wife, who was there, told me that when they viewed the cells under a microscope, the doctor started crying because it turned out to be a very rare form of pancreatic cancer that is curable with surgery. I had the surgery, and thankfully, I'm fine now. This was the closest I've been to facing death, and I hope it's the closest I get for a few more decades. Having lived through it, I can now say this to you with a bit more certainty than when death was a useful but purely intellectual concept. No one wants to die. Even people who want to go to heaven don't want to die to get there. And yet, death is the destination we all share. No one has ever escaped it. And that is as it should be, because death is very likely the single best invention of life. It's life's change agent. It clears out the old to make way for the new. Right now, the new is you. But someday, not too long from now, you will gradually become the old and be cleared away. Sorry to be so dramatic, but it's quite true. Your time is limited, so don't waste it living someone else's life. Don't be trapped by dogma, which is living with the results of other people's thinking. Don't let the noise of others' opinions drown out your own inner voice. And most important, have the courage to follow your heart and intuition. They somehow already know what you truly want to become. Everything else is secondary.
R.I.P. Steve Jobs, R.I.P. Al Davis, two great men, gone but never forgotten. The Madden Voice will return in 1 week. We'll see you then.